Studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are joined, as always, on our live chat by the best and brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, including Cheesehead TV's own Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Later tonight, we're going to talk about your 6-0 Green Bay Packers and the big matchup with the Denver Broncos on Sunday night. But right now, we're going to welcome a very special guest, Mr. Hollywood Pitch Perfect 2 himself, your starting left tackle, number 69 in your programs, but number 1 in your hearts, Mr. David Bakhtiari.
How the hell are you tonight, David?
Well, I'm doing a lot better after that intro.
We're here to please, man. How are you?
And pleasing y'all too. That is an epic intro. I'm good. It's good to be back on. I'm glad I'm able to still be able to be in contact with y'all. I know how, Aaron, you're a little salty at me still. So.
I don't know what. Okay, we'll get to this. We'll get to this. Well, first, let's get down to brass tacks. We got the bye week. It's come and gone. You're back at practice. How was the bye week? Seeing some pictures on social media. Looks like you had a good time. You went away. What'd you do on your week off?
Well, one thing I think I can answer for all the players, bye weeks are way too short. But, I mean, it was awesome. I was able to go back home to San Francisco, able to see my family, be with my family, see my friends, go back to my old stomping ground in my old high school, kind of help out my coach. And with practice, I'm, you know, me and him keep in touch regularly. So it was really nice to, you know, kind of go back and give back to where I grew up, basically.
That's very cool. And I saw, did you help your brother at a call center about selling something? What was that about?
Yeah, and then I shadowed my brothers in their company at work and just kind of learned a little bit of the old 9-to-5 job. I had to go on and make a couple of cold calls and help them out.
Did you make some cold calls?
Yeah, they have a region in Wisconsin, so I decided to call a bunch of companies in Wisconsin and try and get a set up a meeting.
Did you tell them who you were, and did anyone believe you?
Well, I mean, after my terrible sales pitch, because I really had no idea what I was exactly selling, I just kind of went back to my trump card and just said who I am and what I do, and that kind of helped me out.
There you go. Fantastic. Well, now, like I said, you're back. You're in Wisconsin. I know it's too short, but the season, you know, marches on, and you're two practices in now since the bye week. What is your day like during the season? I don't think fans truly understand. I know you and I have spoken briefly on this before in regards to how long a day it can be. And I know fans like to think, oh, they come in for a couple hours, they do their practice, maybe watch some film, and they're done. And I know that's not the case. Can you lay out, you know, maybe not specifically today, but what a general day during the season is like for an NFL football player?
Well, I mean, I'll just say this. I mean, today I was up and at my facility by 6:30, and I didn't leave till a little past 5.
So what are you doing? 6:30 to 5, what are you doing that entire time?
The biggest thing, I mean, I can't really, you know, give away all our secrets, but it's what we're
doing. Obviously.
I mean, you try and do everything. There's everything that you can do for prep. You know, I wouldn't say I was a big old geek sitting in my meeting watching film the whole time waiting for everyone, but I mean, there's a lot of things physically that you can do to stay on top. Stay on top of yourself, make sure you can limit how injured you can become, for one.
Right.
And two, just, you know, taking care of all the little things at work and getting ready for practice. So that's very practicing. I know everyone around the league, you got to lift. So it's just a bunch of things that you can do. But, I mean, it's crazy how the day flies. I mean, I barely even notice. But I tell him, done, I'm like, man, I can't believe I was here from 6 and now it's 5 o'clock.
Mike mentioned on Monday that you guys were going to hit, you know, kind of hit the practice field and get back, quote unquote, to fundamentals. And he talks about that a lot. And I know how important it is to, I mean, not only, you know, any player in the league, but, you know, the offensive line in general. I mean, your technique is how you win. Does it ever get kind of, is it hard to focus when it's a day like that? You've been back, you're just back from your bye week, and maybe you're looking forward to Sunday, but you've got to break down on Monday and go back to fundamentals. Is that hard? Is it hard to focus, or is it just something you fall naturally back into?
Well, when you talk about regards to Monday, I mean, it was nice because it's crazy how much a week off of doing absolutely nothing football-related can kind of build up rust, quote-unquote.
Right.
So it was kind of good to kind of knock the rust off, like, okay, get used to, you know, how, you know, sitting, the little things, from just sitting in your stance to the angles of departure to timing and movement. I mean, it's all little things that I think fans, when they see us playing, you know, they kind of take for granted that they don't really recognize it. And I mean, I was all for it. I mean, fundamentals, one thing that I know is you can't master it. You're always, you know, picking up something, a little something every day in your fundamentals. I mean, if you master it, I mean, that's very hard to come by.
Now, speaking of Mike and kind of his messages to you guys, I mean, you know, he mentioned the fundamentals on Monday, but we know at the beginning of the year, he traditionally sits you guys down and gives you, I don't want to say like a mission statement, but like some kind of message, some kind of theme, something to strive for throughout the year. Does he do that again after the bye week as kind of a reset, something to like kind of strive for in the second half of the season, or is it just a continuation of what you guys talked about in the summer?
I think it's just a continuation. He builds off of what he says coming off the bye week. So it's not more of a it's a little bit reinforcing for what he said prior, but, you know, adds a new little twist to it because, it's a long journey.
Right.
You have to go through to get to, you know, the ultimate goal, which is the Super Bowl.
Well, you're looking at the Broncos defense now. You're talking about maybe watching tape, maybe don't geek out on it, but, you know, you see guys like DeMarcus Ware is back at practice. That's somebody you're going to be going up against. Von Miller might be someone you're going up against, seeing as he likes to switch sides every once in a while. What have you seen on tape? Have you seen, you know, anything that gives you an edge slash, you know, something that you think I can counter it, this way, that way, whatever? Or is it mostly just, okay, this is what he likes to do and I got to be ready for it?
Well, for one, if I do say it, what I'm noticing, get an edge, it won't be an edge much longer, for one. But two, the main thing, you kind of film, the biggest thing you can take off film is how to learn how to feel a guy out without actually playing against him. So kind of mentally put yourself on film, seeing how he likes to react to certain things, and then you pick up on that. So when you get into the game, it's not like a, you know, first time experiencing and seeing this person, how they react to certain situations.
Speaking of that, is it common, have you encountered this ever in your career, where a defensive end maybe tries to rope-a-dope you early on in the game, where he's constantly doing the same kind of rush over and over again, and then he tries to kind of surprise you later on in the game? Is that a common occurrence, or am I making that up?
I think that separates the good players from the great players.
So you've encountered that?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I've noticed it at least two times this year I can think of right off the top of my head, but throughout my past two seasons and this year, I mean, quite a few. I faced some pretty good guys.
Yeah.
Pretty much week in and week out, and they're pretty good at it's a chess match out there. I like to compare, you know, what tackles have to do to chess. I mean, it's kind of setting up your moves and the patient game and all that space is just very methodical, and it's definitely a battle, so it's quite enjoyable if you enjoy chess.
which I do. I also enjoy FIFA, but I notice you haven't been online. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I've been slacking on my video games, but I did just download Halo 5, and I've been trying to get on that as much as I can.
That's in Corey's wheelhouse.
Do you play Elder Scrolls Online?
I don't nerd out that hard.
Oh man, that's my game right there. Well, wait. What do you mean you don't nerd out that hard?
Settlers of Catan.
All right, okay, maybe you got me.
All right. Well, speaking of, Corey Lindsay tells us the game's not on anymore. What's going on? You're slacking in your duties here.
Well, I just got a lot of other stuff on my plate. I haven't had much free time to, you know, get down to my man cave and put on the video games, but it'll happen. I mean, plus, second part, I've just been getting kind of lazy. TVs, just watching TVs, just as mind-numbing that I've been on that train lately.
I heard that. Speaking of on that train, you've been on the Clubhouse Live train. How has that experience been, hosting that show down there in Appleton on Monday nights? I know they treat you very well. You've had some great guests. You went as a Jedi this past Monday.
It's absolutely fantastic. It's the best show I've ever been on.
You're such a jerk. You know, such a jerk. I try to be magnanimous. I try to set it up nice. I'm trying to play the good guy here. You just come in straight up jerk with your response. I get it. I see what's
up. consider us even now. How about that?
There you go. Oh, snaps pro. Okay. But seriously though, you've enjoyed it, obviously. I mean, is this something you want to do like post career? Maybe do some television, do some broadcasting?
I mean, I do enjoy it. It is fun. If that's where my career path takes me, then I certainly won't deny it. If that's what I decide I want to jump into. But, I mean, I just enjoyed it. I got time on my free day, and I'm like, why not? It's enjoyable. It's fun. I have a good time. I enjoy kind of, you know, just talking about stuff. And I would say shoot the blank, but I don't want to swear.
Oh, dude!
On your show,
you need to know. You need to know your audience, dude.
That's all we do.
It's all we do, week in, week out.
Well, perfect. Well, I just try to be politically correct.
It's wise decision.
It's fun, and I enjoy it. And I mean, if I have the opportunity, why not?
I love it. All right, you know, I can't blame you. You're doing a great job, both on and off the field. David Bakhtiari joining us here at Cheesehead TV. David, you're an absolute legend for joining us. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Hey, you know, I appreciate you finally letting me on. It's been too long. I'll probably get back on that piece of cam for you, okay?
Okay. All right. Seriously, thanks, David. Thanks so much for taking the time. And good luck Sunday against the Broncos.
Yeah.
Thank you. You all enjoy your show.
There you go. David Bakhtiari, your starting left tackle for the Green Bay Packers right here on Cheesehead TV, Packer Transplants. Corey Behnke, how the hell are you?
I'm good.
Yeah? You went to Throwback Weekend.
I did.
How was it?
It was an amazing time had by all. We missed you. I didn't, but everybody else did. I have to make a confession.
What's that?
I'm not a very good friend, so I'm just going to come out and say this. There's some amazing crowlers at Stillmank Brewery.
Yeah.
So they have these 32-ounce cans, okay?
Right.
And they can fill them up with
fresh
draft.
I've seen pictures of it. Yeah.
So I actually brought one home for you.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
All right.
And it's their new tailgater.
However, I sense a however.
But then I drank it. And I was like, oh, man, I'm a terrible friend. No, so I'm sorry about that, but I'm kind of not sorry.
You're not sorry at all. I understand. It's all good. You're like Bakhtiari over here, you know? You're killing me with your kindness.
Yeah,
I understand.
Something like that.
What's up. No one's got time for me. I know what's up.
Speaking of Stillmank Brewery, we are giving away a free...
Do it, people!
Free...
Tweet it up!
Packer Legends poster. And all you got to do is not do that, because I'm not doing a very good job at my job right now. All you got to do is... I'm watching Packer Transplants on at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer. Tweet that. And one lucky winner will win a very amazing Packer Legends poster by none other than comic book artist extraordinaire Brent Schoonover.
It's so hot, people. You want it.
It's amazing. I have some over here. You can check them out on Cheesehead TV. Try it. Buy it. If you don't win it, buy it. Try that for a second. But and speaking of merchandise, so while we're here on the subject,
while we're here,
we got some new merch coming out on Cheesehead TV.
New merch! I saw pictures of this stuff. Oh my goodness!
We've got a bundle. We've got a special bundle: two Cheesehead TV T-shirts, two new Cheesehead TV T-shirts, and a new pint glass.
Yes.
And the pint glasses are limited edition. So I actually had our store manager Alex Talish send me 8, so that Aaron can have 4 and I can have 4, and that's all we're getting. So after that 8, there's 92 up for sale, and I'm not making any more. Just like the footballs. We only have 2 of these footballs left.
Look at this football.
And so many times people are like, look at that football. Just throw it at the camera.
Look at that football.
I mean,
that's the hotness. That's old school. If you're old school, you remember these.
They can't hear you if you're not talking on the mic,
by
the way.
They hear me.
So, yeah. We've been away. There's been some news.
Has there?
Let's talk about it.
But you don't want to do, I guess we'll
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I got a little ahead of myself.
That's all right.
So we like to do something here at Cheesehead TV. And,
we do? What's it called, Corey?
It's called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. And
we got the good.
We got James Starks.
150 plus yards and a touchdown.
Jeff, the Resurrection Janice.
The longest reception from scrimmage against the Chargers.
James Jones.
All he does is catch touchdowns.
And we got the bad. We got Randall Cobb.
Yes, I am putting him in the bad for that horrific drop.
Micah Hyde.
Rough day at the office for Micah.
Dom Capers.
I mean, over and over again, whether it's Julio Jones or Keenan Allen, a complete inability to adjust to a single wide receiver killing you.
And we got the ugly. We got Ty Montgomery's injury.
Man, really? With the injuries? Really? Really? Can we just stop? I'm done. I'm over it. Now he's not practicing. Speaking of not practicing, let's get to the news.
Oh.
See? Look at that.
There you go.
That works. So
I think everybody left because nobody's on chat anymore.
Well, the number
everybody's
one
like, we watched David Bakhtiari.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Okay, we're going up against the World Series. We're going up against the GOP debate. We're going up against a whole bunch of stuff. But I know the diehards.
Yeah, the diehards.
The true diehards are here with us right now. Tonight,
whoever
live.
Gets in chat first, I'm going to call your name out. Whoever types in chat
look
first.
At you. All right.
I just want to see if people are here.
There's
if they
no
left.
One here. Great. The way to like pull back the curtain and let everyone know that there is zero.
There's actually
audience.
Bots on the
there
chat.
There are no.
We've hired
people.
Bots to
there
run
no
the chat.
There are no people there. There's no people. Look what
I'm
you've done.
Cry.
See? Look what you did.
Yay!
There you are.
Jersey Al.
So wait. The guy who's a partner on our site is on the chat.
One for the That's team. Good. He's All a right. team player. That's Thanks. What I love about Jersey Al.
Thanks, Al.
And Andres, love seeing you, Andres. Mm.
Thanks, Al. Thanks,
Hilariousness.
Andres.
So, yeah, lots of injuries.
Lots of injuries. We knew the news now.
Starks, I'm already here.
All right. So, James Starks. Mystery injury extraordinaire is finally revealed after he missed Monday's practice and no one knew what it was. Mike wouldn't give it up. Mike still wouldn't give it up today until the official injury report came out. He's got a hip injury and apparently was sustained at the end of the Chargers game. Of course, no mention was made of it because why would they? Now he's got a hip injury. He sat out the last 2 practices. And then in addition, Ty Montgomery, who I got to admit, I am not surprised whatsoever that this kid's still out because that injury looked horrific when he was coming off the field. In the Chargers game, I mean, I thought he looked like he was done. The way he couldn't put any weight on that foot. So, he's out with an ankle injury. Both of those. But they are the only two. As Burnett, Raji, and Perry all return to practice this week.
That's good.
That's a monster development.
Get 3, lose 2.
I'm all for
That's
it.
It's kind of winning.
I'm all for it. And then, on the Denver Broncos side of things... DeMarcus Ware did return to practice after missing the last 2 games. Aqib Talib and Emmanuel Sanders, all 3 of them were listed as limited participants in Denver's practice. So that's something to keep an eye on. There's a chance that Denver might not be full strength. However, they are still a formidable foe, regardless, although Corey is tip-tapping away on the computer.
Well, the chat's, like, blowing up now. So ask and you shall receive. I'm, like, all depressed the chat isn't going, and now I feel like if I don't, like, chat with people, they'll go away.
Right. We forgot about latency. There is a little bit of latency.
They're not here to
We're
listen
not exactly
to you. They're
live.
Here to see the chat.
Not exactly live, so we were a little delayed, but...
Right. Well, so is television.
I know. It's not a complaint. I'm just saying. I forgot about it. And then finally, the big news. I think, to me, the big news of the week, the big news leading up to this week that broke a couple days ago. Bart Starr still on track to be at Lambeau Field on Thanksgiving night for the Brett Favre ceremony halftime against the Bears in a game where the Packers will be up 56-0 at
okay.
half.
Okay. Here is what I'm hearing about this game already. Okay?
Yep.
I know, and one of these people is not Kyle Cousineau, okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact, I know two people, one person who sold their ticket for $1,000 a ticket.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And one person who sold their ticket for $1,500 a ticket.
Dude, that's nothing. Today there was a report that the Broncos-Packers game on Sunday night, they're going for $3,000. $3,000. Have you got $3,000? I ain't got $3,000.
I got $3,000.
I know. It's a line from a movie.
Oh.
I'm over here on an island all by myself, as usual.
You really are.
But anyway, Bart Starr, he's on track to be there. It's very exciting.
That is exciting.
I mean, I'm going to ball my eyes out.
I'm going to believe
that.
I'm not hating.
No, I know. I totally hear you. I did see that report and kind of go, just let it be.
Yeah, like,
let it be.
Don't market
it. Like, if it happens.
You don't need to market it.
If it happens, great. But let's not, like, you know, do a report every week about how he's still on track. Like, and I recognize that's not what they've done. But
somebody had a good question. Who does Bart like better?
Neither one. He loves them both equally.
I don't think so.
They're like his sons.
I don't think so.
I totally think so.
I don't think so because Aaron is from California and Brett's from the South.
So
and Bart's
Brett
from
more?
The South.
Right. So they have a kinship.
Yeah, but then there's like...
But there's the whole episode of the nonsense from Brett, and Aaron's been like the straight-laced, straight arrow, kind of like really exemplary kind of kid. And I think Bart appreciates that as a military guy, you know, son of a military man. So I don't know. We could play that game all day, but I think I do truly think he like loves them both. I mean, I obviously can't speak for the man.
Oh, Jersey Al says Bart like Rogers better.
Oh, okay. Okay, Al. We don't know that. How could you possibly know that?
That game was pretty amazing 2 weeks ago. I kind of forgot how amazing it was.
What, the Chargers game?
I got some
being
serious...
Being there?
Yeah, being there. I got some serious problems with Lambeau Field, though.
Oh, no. Well, save that. Let's save that to our end segment. The last segment, we'll both get some
it's
stuff
It's getting
off.
Worse.
We'll both
no,
get some
seriously.
Stuff off
seriously.
Our chest in the last segment.
Seriously, people were complaining.
Where it's scripted.
It's getting worse.
Where it's scripted.
I'm just saying it's getting worse.
Where it's scripted.
I'm just saying it's getting worse.
All right. So, breaking over to the offense. Should we just skip the whole football stuff and just get to our bitching? Because we both got stuff we want to bitch about.
No. I don't want to bitch about it.
Yeah, you do. It's okay. People just come for the bitching anyway. No one wants to hear us talk football.
Yeah, I think that's why they come here. Although, this woman, Sharon, said she came for Bakhtiari, but she's staying.
Oh, well, that's so, hi, Sharon. I know you. How are you? Thanks a lot for joining us. Thanks so much for sticking around. That's awfully nice of you. So, okay, should we talk football or no?
Do it.
Let's just get to the bitching.
Dude, offense.
Okay, by the way, we need to rename This Week in the Packers Blogosphere because it's like we don't really do Packers Blogosphere anymore. Like,
yeah, we do.
We call out, no. We call out like legit publications or we pub our own stuff, but we rarely talk about other Packer blogs. But we're always talking about like the Packers or Vic Ketchman or, you know.
Yeah, no, I, okay.
Stuff
here's
like
the
that.
Thing. Here's the thing. Right. Andres did this amazing
NFL.
Animation.
I know. So
we're going to keep the
so
animation.
So he needs to do a new one, is all I'm saying.
What's
Mike
it going
to
be called?
Do a new voiceover. I don't know. We'll solicit ideas. I don't know. I'm just saying.
It takes
like,
a year for Mike to do a voiceover. Last
know,
year, we had the live stream thing in forever. Now we have LiveX finally. We have a new
one. It took us a year.
It's like, we can't.
I know.
That's
I know.
Not the kind of show this is.
I know.
Okay.
We're okay. Well, I'm just going to keep coming we're, up with stuff that has nothing to do with the
we are a Lincoln Log show. We're not a Lego show. Okay.
Oh, that's great. That's good. I like it. All right. Should we talk football or no?
Yeah, I'm waiting with bated breath.
Oh, now you're waiting. Okay. On to the offense. There's a good chance, ladies and gentlemen, due to Stark's injury, the great mystery of Eddie Lacy will finally be revealed / put to rest when they're forced to turn to him if James Starks, their new golden boy, is unable to go. I mean, I don't think... What was it like at the game? When James Starks comes out as the starter, Eddie Lacy gets 4 carries all game, and James Starks is the workhorse.
Yeah.
Were you just, because you weren't on Twitter, obviously, so was it kind of like,
well, I was
on
Twitter, but they said they improved the Wi-Fi there, but that did not happen. So,
right.
you know, it's still just the same. You have to, and I don't want to be on Twitter when I'm watching the game anyway.
No, I know you don't.
No, it actually felt odd. It did feel odd.
Right?
Because, and I guess it feels odd once he fumbles the ball, and you're like, oh, yeah. But it did feel odd that it felt like he was going with Neo as his horse.
Right, exactly.
And he was playing that kind of game. Yeah. He wasn't playing the game he's been playing the last, well, when I say he, Tom Clemens.
Right.
It felt like he wasn't playing the game he's been playing the last 5 weeks, which is switcheroo, substitution, mix and match.
It was all James.
It was all James Stark. So it felt like, oh, he's playing this offense. And I did think it was kind of weird to bring a guy in who's cold like that.
Exactly.
Right at that moment.
Thank you.
It didn't feel right.
And then everyone's killing Lacy for his fumble. But no one, you know, I don't remember any grief given to James Starks for his fumble against Seattle, which was also lost, you know, and led to points. I mean, you know, it's like all of a sudden everyone's like, he's out of shape. He doesn't know who to see the cutback, blah, blah, blah. It's like this is all stuff that Eddie, like, proved was ridiculous last year, in the last 2 years. And now all of a sudden he's forgotten how to run. Like, people are totally ready to, like, throw him to the curb. Like, I'm just kind of flabbergasted, including the coaches. So I'll be very interested if James can't go and Lacy is thrust back into a prominent role.
I mean,
albeit against a very good defense.
I mean, if you look at probability and how you play running backs, like, how do you expect a guy to just do that? How do you expect to? I mean, I know you're expected to.
Well, and a guy who traditionally gets better the more carries
he gets. Yeah, yeah. It was definitely a weird
And you're
call.
Doing weird crap, like bringing him in from, like, you split him out wide in the red zone and then bring him in for this doomed handoff. That was one of his four carries, by the way.
Holly said running is hard.
Yeah, it sure is hard.
It is.
Let me tell you. That's why I do very little of it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
I run as little especially as possible.
Especially when it comes
only
to.
Only when chased, really.
Especially when there's, like, 400-pound men.
Yeah, no.
I'm not going
to
run.
Trying to kill me?
Yeah.
I'm going to go the other way.
Yeah.
Maybe what I'm going to do. McCarthy and Rodgers. Okay, look. We all know how much they love to push the ball downfield. We all know how much. I mean, all you got to do is look at the, like, everyone talking about the struggles on the offense. And this includes McCarthy and Rodgers. And it's like, well, yeah. You keep calling these 10, 15, 20-yard deep developing routes. And, yeah, you're going to have some issues, especially if you can't get separation. They need more than ever, and I hope maybe the self-scout after the bye week kind of leads to this, especially in that stadium. They need to, like, get back to kind of what they were doing against Kansas City in the first half, which is very much focusing on the short game. It's both what they did against Kansas City in the first half this year and what they did against the Bears in week 3 all those years ago, where they just moved it up and down the field, and they would have won that game if James Jones doesn't fumble right at the end, but that's neither here nor there. The game plan was really good.
Here's my thing is I don't understand why they don't just keep playing that game against everybody.
Yeah.
Because how are you going to beat
them? Because Mike loves pushing it down the field. So does Aaron. That's the problem. They love going. Like, there's so many routes where it's like 10, 15
yards
downfield.
But it's like statistically and probably, like, if they really look at the numbers game, that's their game.
I know.
It's like a game they don't want to play.
And then you flip it around, and you're watching Phillip Rivers, 3-5-step drops, getting the ball out of his hand, short, 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 and then every once in a while pushing it downfield on a singular matchup that they know they're going to get, as opposed to sending a bunch of guys downfield, panic, oh, my God, either dump off or try and find an escape out of the pocket. That's, like, become their offense at times, and it's kind of frustrating to watch. So I would say go right to the short game. That's your game plan. That's going to win you this football game. That's just me. That's my thought. And then here's the other thing. I know a lot. Rodgers was asked about it at his locker today. Lots made about the hard count. Lots made about the cadence.
Well,
about the free play.
Jerry's like, you can't be too predictable on the chat. And I totally get that. I totally get that.
Right,
just going back to the short game for a second.
Right.
But if something's unbeatable, it's like the Packers sweep, okay? Yeah,
back in the day. Or even not even back in the day. Hell, back when Mike Sherman was running it.
You couldn't beat it.
When Brett Favre.
They called Jumbo.
Yep.
And you could not beat it.
71.
What are you going to do?
Brett Favre would talk about it in 2003.
Nothing.
How they would roll out. And the linebackers are calling out the play. Brett is saying, we're not going to gain a yard on this play. And they ran it, and they gained 10 yards anyway.
So, and that's kind of the same thing with dinking and dunking.
I agree.
There are so many ways to dink and dunk in this game that are ridiculous, where you can camouflage all kinds of things. And it's like, okay, just do that 30 times and then pick one time
and
to
I'll
go
say,
long.
Now, you can't be too predictable. Totally agree. Absolutely 100% agree. Totally agree with your point, Corey, that there are a million different variations that you can go to. Let's not Philip Rivers just put up 500 yards on the Packers defense, the number one scoring defense in the NFL.
And lost,
but put up 500 yards by dinking and dunking. He didn't push the ball downfield a ton. He took his shots, but
he did lose, though.
Well, yeah, I know, but he was productive.
But I will say there was one third down in the third quarter.
Yeah.
There was one third down that they got, and that was not on the Packers defense. That was on Lambeau.
Ooh, bold call.
No, it was.
Why? Because it wasn't loud enough?
No. It wasn't loud at all.
Yeah.
It was like everybody ate their second brat and they were like, oh, wait. Oh, there's a game.
You know, I will say, and I know I've been chastised for this before, but I will say, just from the year test, just from watching it on television, like you compare like the Seattle game and the fervor from the crowd.
Dude, Seattle
to the Chargers game, and it was like night and day. Night and day from the crowd. But anyway, we're getting off tangent. We're going to move over to the defense here. And some good news, the return of Morgan Burnett. And I know you think about a safety coming back and you think that's really going to help the pass defense. And it will do that, I have no doubt. I think it will improve. It will help both, you know, that spot and the spot across from him for Clinton Dix. But more than anything, having Morgan Burnett back helps the run defense. I mean, this guy plays at such a great level, and you can see it on the Seattle tape. I mean, he is so good against the run. You know, they really kind of lose something when he's off the field. And Micah Hyde's a good player. I don't think he's ever going to be great. He's a good role player. He does, and it's great. It's almost a luxury to have him back there to be able to step in when Burnett does go down. But the difference is so notable and so kind of remarkable when Burnett is in there in all facets, but especially against the run. He's really become a player, and I'm excited to watch him on Sunday night. And then we have, speaking of guys returning, we have Raji and Perry, both coming back. Both of them, and I know this has been said, and it gets tweeted, and we all think, yes, yes, of course, yes. But I haven't seen a whole lot written about it. So I'm just going to say these guys are playing out of their minds, or at least they were prior to their injury. Both Raji and Nick Perry, I mean, just playing great, inspired football. And it's obviously been a long time since we saw that from either one of these guys. So for the Packers to continue seeing the success that they've had so far on the defensive side, it's going to take, you know, continued effort from these two. And it's interesting to me that, you know, without them in there against the Chargers, we did see the Chargers move the ball quite a little bit. I think Raji and Perry make a difference if they had played in that game. And yeah. I think they make a big difference if they play against the Broncos and Peyton Manning.
I'm just not afraid of Peyton Manning.
You have no reason to be.
He sucks.
Well, okay, slow down.
He sucks.
Slow down.
I think we're just going to roll over the Denver. Roll on to the Super Bowl, baby.
Okay, well, the next point was Capers still needs to be wary of Manning.
I don't agree.
I suppose I should put that. I'll X that out and put Capers and Corey Behnke still need to be wary of Manning.
Everybody at Lambeau basically hates Dom Capers. It's really sad.
It is.
It's sad, how many people beat up on Dom Capers.
You were there for a game where his defense gave up 500 yards, so I understand.
And won.
I know.
We won the game.
You know I'm with you, dude. You know I'm with you.
That's like when we're ahead and people on Twitter bitch about us just running the ball. I believe that's called football.
The goal of the game
the
is
goal
to
of
win?
The game is to be ahead when the clock goes out.
When it reads zero, you want to be ahead. Yeah, no, I agree. You know I agree. But I get it.
It's
that's
like,
what
so what we gave up 500 yards? We
I
won.
Know. I know.
So what?
I know.
When's the last time? That's only, what did Jason Wilde say? I can't remember. He brought up a good point right after the game. It's like the second or third time we've given up 500 yards and won.
And won, yeah.
In the history of the Packers or something? Ridiculous.
That's what they do, man.
So it's like, look, if we're finding ways to win with 500 yards.
Hey, but how about Demaryius Randall? How about your first round pick?
That was some good
basically
stuff.
Basically baiting Philip Rivers into that throw.
Yeah.
Like he said, we were in a cover two, which I love after everything Dom threw at Philip Rivers in that game. He goes to a basic, like a vanilla cover two goal line stand, fourth down, got to have it. Go with cover two. And he goes cover two, and Randall plays back consciously to give Rivers the window to think he's got it.
But
that's a bold
half of that
move
play, though,
from the rookie is Julius Peppers.
Yes.
No doubt.
Without
no
Julius
question.
Peppers.
Because if Rivers
the
can
ball
step
gets,
into it,
yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah,
I totally agree.
The ball gets there faster.
But Randall, like, opening that up, That's a bold move for a rookie.
No, I feel like when you look at our secondary, we're better than we should be at this point when you think about like how much we have to learn and how young our guys are. Yeah, and I feel like what's helping out the secondary more than anything is the defensive line.
Yes.
And
I
the play
there.
Of the defensive line this year is the probably one of the most surprising things. And I even think like some it's like the linebackers are kind of still in the stasis mode where it's
well,
like
they're just all over the place. You know what I mean? It's like
why is I don't understand. I just don't understand. Why is Clay Matthews ever tasked with covering a tight end?
I know. So here's my thing.
Why? Like
he gave up the touchdown and that whole drive he was in coverage. And then they come back the next drive and Clay's rushing and oh magically it works. It's amazing. But to me, it's like I get the you can't rush him every play or, you know, he can't be doing the same thing every play. I get that. But like that drive where that ended in him giving up the touchdown to Green, like he was in coverage for every play but one in that drive. And that never makes any sense to me. Like
no.
He's one of the best pass rushers in the game. One of the best disruptors. Oh, my God. Winston Moss had the best quote. On Clay this week, he said something. I'm paraphrasing, but he said basically that he's like the new kind of predator who's like evolving, and they you know offenses don't have an answer for him. They don't know what to do with him, and it's true. You watch him, and like he knows he's using his instincts and he's timing snaps and he's causing disruption. And so when you take him and put him in coverage, it's like you're taking that all away.
Yeah,
you're taking all your advantage.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
And I do like again. I get it. Every once in a while, as you got to change it up. But for a whole drive, that doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't think Dom Capers is the worst defensive coordinator in the year, in the world. And I also don't think he's the greatest, but I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to him about it sometime. I'm sure the Packers would honor our request for an interview at some point.
I'm sure they wouldn't.
Wait, you're right. That's correct.
Yeah.
You are correct, sir. That's right. All right, well, it's that time. Well, it's prediction time. What's your prediction for Sunday night?
No, it's not prediction time yet.
Oh, okay. Well, it is in the script.
Oh, but that's in the script. We don't do predictions until the end.
We don't. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer blogosphere. The return of that venerable series. One of Corey Banky's favorites.
Take the high.
Oh, and Mike's favorite, too. Mike
Oopsie.
Is not ready for all that drama, if you know what I mean. All right, so. All right.
Mike didn't like
that
segment.
I'm just going to address the
Mike,
camera.
Mike was like, no. I don't like that.
All right, I'm just going to address the camera here for a second. All right, this past weekend, there was an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about one LaTroy Guyon. Defensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers, written by two gentlemen in employ of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which laid out in some detail Guyon's past transgressions when it comes to both his past use of drugs / being arrested / domestic violence. And it touched a nerve with me, and I'm pretty sure, having spoken to several people in the organization, that it touched a nerve with a lot of people at 1265 Lombardi in regards to, let's not get, bogged down in the what happened in those instances, because I am not law enforcement, I am not a judge, I am not a jury, I'm a blogger. I'm a blogger who watches football and then tells people what I think about it. But this really kind of irked me in regards to whatever happened with LaTroy Guyon 3 years ago, and it was 3 years ago at minimum when he was an employee of the Minnesota Vikings. Whether you go back and you want to read the police reports and parse through them and notice the fact that the domestic violence, quote-unquote, incident with the mother of his child where he did punch her boyfriend and then shoved her to the ground. But then the kind of, he said, she said begins where she says he punched her in the jaw. He says he didn't. He just pushed her. The eyewitness at the complex says that they witnessed him shove her to the ground, did not witness the punch to the jaw. The man that he punched had to go get, you know, basically help at the hospital, had to go get looked at. She did not, no record of her ever going to a hospital. Same man punched her in the jaw, but no record of that ever, no medical attention. So go and look at those facts, parse them out for yourself. Okay, horrible incident, obviously. 3 years ago. 3 years ago. And ask yourself this question when you're reading your Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Are they historians or reporters? Are they stenographers or members of the press? Now, I get that in today's kind of environment that we find ourselves in regards to the National Football League, that we are all heightened aware. We are all on pins and needles and hypersensitive when it comes to any off-field transgression in regards to the guys who play for the Green Bay Packers, but especially when it comes to domestic violence. None of us are for it. We're all against it. I think that's pretty obvious. I think the reason Mike McCarthy called the piece garbage, as he did in his press conference, is because, yes, the Packers, I'm pretty sure, are aware of the transgressions in Guyon's past. Obviously, they were aware of what went down in Florida when he was arrested, and they chose to bring him back. I also know that, like I said before, a lot of people at 1265 were really upset by that article. And I just go back to, what are you? Are you a historian? Are you a stenographer? You're going back, writing, reading old police reports, and then basically, you know, gussying them up for publication. And then, and this gets me to the part that really kind of upset me, the part that really kind of pissed me off, where, all right, let's say, fine, you think the public has a right to know this stuff about a guy that happened 3 years ago, even though you chose to admit some pretty important parts, but you linked to them. You didn't put them in your article, but you linked to them. So, all right, I'll give you that. But after all that is said and done, let's say, okay, fine, you're on the up and up, you're doing your journalistic duty, but then the fervor with which the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel promoted this piece that just happened to coincide with the bye week. I mean, can you be a little more transparent? I mean, talk about the worst kind of muckraking. That's what really upset me. This idea that this was a really important piece of journalism. We're going to tweet everybody. The publisher was tweeting Andrew Brandt, obviously hoping to get some play with either Monday Morning Quarterback or ESPN.
No, they were trying to get Katie Nolan to do something about it.
Right. So, I mean, so the idea that, fine, this is all well and good. You've done the work, but you can't just let it stand. You've got to publicize it. You've got to put it out there. Look at this important work we're doing. When what we've really done is gone through a guy's past and drudged it all up and gussied it up and made it into an important feature for us to feature during the bye week when it's slow and we need some clicks. That's what pissed me off.
I mean, if you look at the business side of it, nobody is reading either the Green Bay Press Gazette or the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel because they both just merged.
Yeah, well,
and so I think that's in today's game, climate.
Yeah. Everyone's just on the Cheesehead TV app, obviously.
I would hope so. But let's talk about this Mark Murphy cruise.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
dude.
Man. When I saw this Mark Murphy cruise, we were talking about it. Actually, it's
dude!
Funny. It's funny you brought it up on the script because we were talking about it. And I was like, oh, man. Well, at first I was like a fanboy. I was like, well, I wonder what stateroom they put Mark Murphy up in. And Rachel just laughed at me. She goes, really? Like, you do this for a living? Like, really? I'm like, oh, yeah. Obviously, they helicopter them in,
yeah,
and then they do,
exactly,
like, the scheduled appearances. And then
and
I was
then
thinking
they
to myself,
whisk them away.
And then I was thinking to myself, man, I wonder what Italian villa they get put up in while you're taking your cruise around.
French villa, please.
Whatever.
It's the thing in France.
Whatever. Whatever.
I was saying, though. Okay, so those of you who are unaware,
I think
what
it's
the hell
muck raking, too, not muck racking, by the way.
Muck racking.
I think it's muck raking.
Oh, maybe.
You're raking the muck.
Sure, whatever.
Like, the muck is, and then you're raking it.
Oh, maybe you're right. Muckraking.
Because you're raking the muck because
it's
mucky.
You're right. Did I say muckraking?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my only nit to pick. In that.
So for those of you who don't know what we're talking about here with Mark Murphy, the Packers tweeted out this afternoon.
Like, no, but it's been advertised for like 2 weeks now.
Oh, has it? This is the first I've seen it.
No, when we were in Green Bay, it was out, and it's in like the programs, and like it's like advertised.
So there's this thing where you can take a leadership cruise.
Leadership. because ladies and gentlemen,
sorry, I'm playing hurt.
Nothing says leadership like inheriting your leadership.
Wait, now, okay, so this dude is going to take a bunch of Packer fans on a cruise in France, and his wife's going to be there?
I guarantee you.
Miss Murphy's in the literature?
I guarantee you, if I took this cruise, he would still avoid me like
the plague.
Well,
that's what I was going to say. We clearly got to buy some seats for Cheesehead TV.
Okay, there's two things I don't like in this story.
France?
Taking a cruise. France.
Yeah, right.
Okay, three. And Mark Murphy avoiding me.
Yeah. Well, okay, but here's the thing. It's like, could there be a less on-brand event than Mark Murphy cruise France? And then, like, the pictures are all like
Aaron,
frou-frou,
Aaron.
And they're all drinking nice
Nothing
cocktails.
Says leadership like Mark Murphy. Nothing.
I just...
There's nothing.
Like, what? Who? Where? Why don't you just take the board? Because it's clear that this is who this is, like, you know... This is who they have in mind when they're marketing this stuff. Like, $7,000 and you too can rub elbows with Mark Murphy on the French Riviera. I don't know if it's the Riviera, but in France. But like really, what about that says Packers?
Nothing.
I mean, what
Zero.
On earth does that have to do with the Green Bay Packers? I love how, and this is where I'm going to go with it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go with it because I don't care because I just thought of it and it's the damn truth. Well, what does that have to do with us winning football games? That's always their like response to anything in regards to
anything they
don't
do. Yeah, but they've done cruises before.
Yes, with players and fans, and there's a bunch of beer, and you have a great time in the Caribbean. I get that. But Mark Murphy in France?
Here's the thing that would
what
be funny.
What the hell does that have to do with the Packers?
Here's what would be funny.
Other than Mark Murphy works for the Packers.
What if it was like that Mississippi one where they had to shut it down for 3 days? I mean... To me, that feels like Mark Murphy's nightmare to be on stuck mm-hmm. for 3 days mm-hmm. on a cruise.
With a bunch of Packer fans?
With a bunch of Packer fans.
Well, because it won't be Packer fans. It's not going to be like Steve the owner. You know what I mean? It's going to be
well,
like...
Well, if it was, it would be cool.
It'd be awesome, but it won't be. It'll be like guys on the board, women on the board, people who are like, you know...
Nobody on the board is
Milwaukee,
going to that.
You know, Milwaukee like bigwigs. They're going to like spend a bunch of money and go like with Mark Murphy.
I wonder. I bet more people watch Cheesehead TV than are going to... Watch this show than are going to go on that cruise.
Well, probably, because this show is free, yo.
It's not free, homie. Oh, for everybody else, yeah.
For
that's
them,
right.
It is. Damn, I know we
I forgot about
it.
That.
They just turned their computer on, dude.
Not
yes, you're
that.
Right. They have to pay their internet bill. That is how it's not free.
They have to pay their phone bill when they watch
we
it.
We are way off on a tangent. So that's what I got. Now,
what
that's
is
what
this
I,
we you're saying?
That's we. You're talking about them paying for
collective?
It. I don't know what you're talking about. The royal.
No, you're off on a tangent.
I'm on no tangent. I am on point saying, I mean, what the hell does that have to do with the Packers?
But here's the thing. Let's not confuse this, though, with things like the Greg Hardy issue, which is a real issue.
Yes, of course not.
Okay? Greg Hardy is garbage. LaTroy Guyon...
Here's my point. No, wait. Now I'm glad you brought that up. Now here's the thing, and that's why I did go and read the police reports, and that's why I did try to read as much as I could and parse it out as far as I could go, like all the public information that's available. Basically, doing what the people at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did, and try and see where they, you know. Kind of what they chose to kind of
where
put
the proverbial
forward.
Rubber hits the road.
And where the So with Greg Hardy, the thing is like where you see Mike get upset in that press conference, and he talks a little bit about it. He kind of scratched the surface of it. Is the idea of quote unquote second chances and things that they knew about and things that they clearly have talked to Guyon about in regards to how he can continue to work for the Green Bay Packers. Greg Hardy is being enabled. If Greg Hardy came out tomorrow And there was like a report about him like storming some, like let's say he has an ex-girlfriend in Dallas that he went to her apartment and broke down the door. All right. And it was all over the news. You know, I'm pretty sure Jerry Jones would say that's just him showing fiery leadership in some form or other. Whereas I think the tact in Green Bay would be a little different. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Packers would make the same excuses. I tend to think they wouldn't. But again, I could be totally wrong.
I want to bring a point up in the chat. Josh Johnson springs up, how long before Cohen loses his press credential? And here's the thing, right? Here's something that a lot of people, and it kind of segues into the thing that I wanted to talk about, mm-hmm. which goes into kind of like one of these things that shows you how small of a market Green Bay is. And it's something, it's a theme that I bring up a lot, but it's one of these things where it affects media coverage, it affects what we watch, it affects how the national media goes into our
team is covered.
How our team's covered. So there is no way on God's green earth that the Packers would ever pull a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel press reporter's credential.
Nope.
Okay?
Nope.
Because the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is one of the few large market actual presences. It would be like if they pulled ESPN's credential.
Well, or if, like, you know, the Giants pulled the Daily News.
The
like,
only way they would ever do that is if that person was, like, committed a criminal act, or there was something where that person did something egregious. There is no way. Cheesehead TV, on the other hand,
we're never coming in.
So I found this article on Google News, and it talks about the top 50 merchandise sold by the NFL. And Russell Wilson is number one. And Aaron Rodgers, who is playing the best football of any quarterback pretty much ever besides Joe Montana and maybe Bart Starr in their career is number four. If Aaron Rodgers played for the New York Giants or the Dallas Cowboys or the New York Jets or the New England Patriots, be number one. So the Packers, 5-0 team, soon to be 6-0. 6-0 team, soon to be 7-0.
Right.
Have two players, and you can guess who they are, that are in the top 50 of merchandise.
Rodgers and Matthews.
50. And we have two players. Right. And teams like the Seattle Seahawks have five players.
Right.
So it just kind of shows you, like,
the exposure.
And I know it's exposure, it's marketing, it's merchandise. And I know some people are going to be like, that's nothing. But it kind of goes to, like, why we've been a losing team. It goes in the past. It goes to our history. It goes to why. It goes to a lot of things, and I think a lot of people just, they think we're all equal because of the parity of the NFL, and we're really not. There's small markets, and we're the smallest.
Right.
Well, maybe Cleveland's a little smaller.
No, they're technically the smallest, Green Bay.
And then there's everybody else.
Well, there you go. There's Corey's rant for the day.
It's not a rant. Oh, and Lambeau.
Yeah, so what's up with Lambeau? What's going on there?
I don't know. I think it's
a whole new crew running that place. You're telling me it's getting worse?
No. It's a generational change. We've talked about it.
How so? What do you mean?
It's just a generational change. I think
you're already. I can already tell you're watching your words here because you don't want to piss people off.
No. I found out some many interesting things about Lambeau. Like I found out something where I think a couple press people told me that the reality is even when they eject people, they very rarely. I think there's only been like very very rare instances of pulling someone's season pass, and something my grandparents were always like freaked out about. Like, but they actually don't do it because they're worried about lawsuits. They're worried about all kinds of things, right? For whatever PR, whatever.
Sure.
But I think there's a changing of the guard at Lambeau. I just don't think it's happening fast enough. Like for instance, the same woman who told me to take my cheese head off when I was 12 years old was at the stadium. And they're just the classic people who are like, and we were very respectful, but they got in a fight with the people next to us. And it's like, you could tell it's this whole young versus old fight of like people who don't want to stand up for the game and people who want to sit down. And it sounds so inane and asinine, but it's one of these things where it's like, you come to a game because you want to spend those 3 hours of your life
engrossed.
Rooting the team and engrossed in the game. And you don't want to worry about the other stupid people around you that aren't feeling the same way.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of sad. And I've bitched about it before. And I almost like, I was actually very nice to the lady. I never said anything because, you know, I like to be a respectful person at the game. I don't care where I am.
Right.
But it's just getting old. It's just like, I really felt like in the third quarter when they were driving down the field, Lambeau was just like totally dead. Just
you
totally dead.
You could hear it.
And I'm like, guys, they're driving down the field. Like, get up. Let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And it does make an impact. Like, you can say what you want.
Oh,
but
players to a man always say
it does. Fans make an impact on the game. When you're at a Seattle game, or you're at a Philadelphia game, or you're at a Giants game, the fans, and when they're into it, it makes an impact on the field.
I feel you, man. Word up. There you go. Corey Behnke bringing the heat this week. I like it. All right, so what's your prediction for Sunday night?
60-0 Oh, and Peyton Manning's going to have, we're going to have not three, but four picks. Going to be Demaryius Randall, Sam Shields, Clay Matthews, and B.J. Raji. And B.J. Raji is going to pick Peyton Manning off at the five-yard line. It's going to be a repeat of the NFC Championship game, and then he's going to do his little belly roll thing, and the it's just going to be off the hook.
You already predicted that once this year, but I like it. Let's predict it every week.
No, I'm not doing it every week.
I know, but like saying, let's do it.
I just think that would be amazing.
It would be beyond amazing.
Like, that would be like one of the most Vine things ever.
Yeah, it would. It would be amazing. I'm going to go, it's funny, because this summer, and my heart and head predictions at the beginning of the year during training camp, I predicted this was one of the games they were going to lose. Like, I just saw them, and that was before, I saw they had one of the best defenses in the NFL, which they do. But I tell you what, the way Peyton Manning's playing right now, Aaron Rodgers is the difference in this game. And I'm picking the Packers 24-17.
If they lose, I'll give you money.
I don't think they're going to lose, but they could. And that's why we watch on Sundays, and I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. But I got them 24-17.
You think Peyton Manning's going to score 17 after that debacle he had last week?
Well, last week they were on a bye, just like us.
Two weeks ago.
We'll see.
2 weeks ago.
We'll see.
It was a debacle, though.
In
what
Cleveland.
Do you have? How many picks?
I don't know. Two. Two bad ones. One was a pick six.
Eesh.
It was a pick six that his running back should have caught, though.
Everything's last week to me for football.
I hear you.
The bye week doesn't count. The bye week's just the week that everybody tries to sell papers.
Are you done?
You said it. I know.
I'm just wondering if you're done.
Muckraking.
Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank our guest, David Bakhtiari, and everyone who connected with us on the live chat. You guys really helped make this the unique fan experience. You guys are the best. What can I say? It's amazing. You come here. You're on the live chat. It's incredible. You download the podcast. You watch it online on the site. It's amazing. Thank you guys so much. You're the reason we're here. Thank you. Go Pack Go. We'll see you next week.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason, okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.